Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John. John is engineering and producing our show. And together, a big hearty welcome to the Buckmaster Show. First week of May. I love the merry month of May. It is Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022. In our 12th year here with our radio project in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, or where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. Our live line, which we will be utilizing a couple of times during the hour today, including our lead interview, is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And speaking of the live line, we go to our expert on Washington and governmental affairs, Terry Bracey, whose unique role in representing Tucson's interests began with a 10-year stint on the staff of the famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to a sub-cabinet position by President Carter, subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He is a founding partner of the respected public affairs firm of Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital, and he is also a contributing editor to the editorial page of the Arizona Daily Star. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm exhausted after that description.
Hey,
I'm not that busy.
Hey,
yeah,
I got
hey,
you. The...
Hey, I understand you have an anniversary coming up.
Yeah, we're not saying the year, but we're just, let's just say it is a milestone on Thursday, and let's say it's a long, long time. And it's actually, and I'll put something about this on Facebook on Thursday, it's actually a double anniversary milestone, Terry. It's also the first time Ann and I, May 5th, I'll give the year, 55 years ago, our first date. And it was at a restaurant called the Iron Mask here in Tucson on Grant, which is now the Kingfisher, a very popular restaurant. So.
Yeah.
Double anniversary here.
Nancy and I are driving back from, unfortunately, a memorial service in New York, and Nancy was shaking her head. The Iron Mask.
Yeah.
We remembered that one. Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, the bar stools at the Kingfisher still have the logo of the Iron Mask on the back. Anyway, there's so much bad news out there, but of course there's also always good news if you're a baseball fan, but I don't know how good news when I follow the Cubs all my life. It's never been a great, never been great news following the Cubbies.
Well, I have two teams, so, you know, the Nats this year are rebuilding, and it's going to be a long, long season for them and for their fans. But I've also, since childhood, I grew up in St. Louis, been a big Cardinal fan. And they're going to have a good team. They're going to be in the playoffs, I think, for sure.
Hey, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say everybody's abuzz about this release of this Supreme Court decision. I can't ever recall anything like this happening. It's what about you, Terry? You didn't even get off the bus yesterday. It's unprecedented, isn't it?
It is. I've never heard of it in all the years that I've been involved, and it's just perhaps a reflection, Bill, of how crazy our politics have become.
Yeah.
I mean, the last thing you'd think is that a Supreme Court decision, which hasn't, as Nancy points out, hasn't been voted yet. We hope it won't come out this way, at least we do in our family, but it's likely to. But, yeah, it's just a different time, Bill.
Yeah, it really is. I want to talk a little bit about
it. I wonder who did it.
Well, yeah, I wonder if they'll ever find out who did it. Who knows?
I know that the minority leader, Mitch McConnell, he really, really did not want the court to make that decision before the election. It was one of the ones that he thought might stir up the middle of the people who are in the middle and might stir them up against Republicans. And I don't know. I don't know. When Trump ran initially in 2016, almost everyone thought, well, you know, that's something that would happen. But the voters really didn't come out. Trump won. So that was, but we'll see now. I think the issue is pretty sharpened, pretty much sharpened. And it could become one of a series of big issues that emerge here in the final months of this election campaign.
Terry, I want to talk about your recent column, Duck and Cover. It brought back a lot of memories. Growing up in Chicagoland during the, you know, post-World War II, we were always taught, hey, you never know, we're just perhaps a day away from a nuclear confrontation. Who would have thought here we are talking about this again and worrying about it again?
Well, thank you for the compliment. I was inspired to write that piece about what we used to call duck and cover. Remember that?
We
duck and cover under our desks every week. And I was inspired to write about it because I was playing a round of golf with a lovely young man in his early 40s who was actually an Ivy League graduate. And we began to talk about what's going on, you know, in Ukraine. And he said, he's a Republican, but he said to me, he said, you know, I'm a Republican, but I voted for the president. And he said, furthermore, I voted for the Democratic candidate in my district. I just didn't like the extremism on the other side. But he said, I'm really angry now. I think we ought to get our bombs and our worst weapons out and go after Putin. I looked at him and I thought, you don't know what duck and cover is all about.
Yes.
Well, so, you know, it was kind of stunning to hear a young man who's that sophisticated, that well educated, and a whole group of them, and maybe a whole generation, really hasn't thought, Bill, as we thought as war babies, of we could die tomorrow, and these weapons, you know, are just awesome. They're just terrible.
Yeah, and I know you growing up in St. Louis and me in the Chicago area, we were under the, it seems like that drill went on, I think, every week that we do the old duck and cover thing. But then I remember in high school, all the concern, and we were really concerned about it. And when you're a high schooler, you don't really think too much about death and ending it all through a nuclear war. But I you know, that was big time with the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Well, it really was. And although I was in college then, I'm an older man, Bill. But anyway, I went to school for 8 years under the Jesuits, and they were very, very strong on talking about the history, what's created this tension, and how devastating these weapons are. For example, Bill, as you well know, but I'll mention it, the two bombs that ended the Japanese or ended the Pacific War in World War II, Little Boy and Fat Man and Little Boy, I think
yeah.
they were called.
Yeah, that's what they were called.
They killed between 100 and 200,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of in warfare. Well, similar-sized bombs today are so powerful, they could wipe out 200 million people.
Yep.
Think of that.
Yep.
200 million people could die. And the truth is, and scientists tell us this. Well, the great Einstein quote. Einstein was asked, well, which of these weapons do you think they're going to use in World War III? And Einstein said, I don't know. He said, but I'll tell you, in World War IV, it'll be sticks and stones.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, you got to wonder, I'm curious, do you believe that war in the Ukraine could cause such a confrontation? I know that the columnist Peggy Noonan wrote about this in last Saturday's Wall Street Journal, and she says it's not out of the question. It's not off the table. What do you think, Terry Bracey?
Well, accidents happen in war. It happens all the time. The best plan, battle plan, never works. And accidents happen. Assassinations happen. World War I got started. Nobody knows why. But it did. And it killed millions. So I agree with Ms. Noonan, who I think is a very good writer.
Yes.
I agree with her. I think there's a level of danger here that people are not really willing to accept.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd rather not think about it. I can understand that.
Yeah.
I can understand that. But if you have people constantly going to the president, you know, trying to pressure him to do more and more and more, when he seems to be doing quite enough, I think he's handled this brilliantly.
Okay, Terry.
You can't really. Yeah.
Gonna have to run and leave it right there. Terry Bracey, stay safe, stay well. Talk to you next month. Thanks, Terry.
Fun being with you. Bye.
All right. Terry Bracey with us on the live line. Mona's Danish Bakery. That's a place that, regardless of your political point of view, everybody goes into the bakery, and they can all agree that the bakery case is loaded with wonderful, beautiful things, like the Danish Kringle and like my favorite, current favorite, the Bear Claw, although I had a great piece of carrot cake up there on Sunday. I bought it after having breakfast and thought, I'm going to save this for dinner. Guess what? I ate it right after the breakfast at Mona's. It never made it out the door into the car. But anyway, Mona's open right now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. He's back, Shelley Fishman, after a wonderful time over in France. Lots to talk about, and I can't believe it. Two thumbs up. That's something new. Since Shelley went away, the news has not been great out of Wall Street, but we'll find out what's going on today. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Oh. Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And back in studio, Shelley Fishman and John, our wonderful engineer, and I were saying while Shelley was gone and doing those fine reports over 3 weeks, and we were saying off the air anyway, is Shelley really over in France? Because I think the Liveline report, I don't know what kind of service you've got, but it was like crystal clear when you were doing your reports from France.
Yeah, you know, I was in hotel rooms.
Using
Wi-Fi there.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, just fine. I will say that the market did not react well to my absence.
No, that would be the understatement of the year.
Yeah, we had the worst April since the
1939
World War II. Just not a good month for investors. And you know, Bill, we've got an economy right now that is pulling things in both directions.
Yes.
And that is adding a tremendous amount of uncertainty to what investors think is going to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
Made worse by what I think are some not really dependable numbers on the GDP growth for the first quarter.
You think that's going to be revised?
I do. I think it's going to be revised. You know, The GDP growth for 2021 was about 5.7%, and the first quarter came in at a negative 1.4 overall. That's a 7-point drop. You know, you don't get those kinds of drops in GDP in just the quarter. So what I think is going to happen here is that's going to be reevaluated. The numbers will be sharpened up a little bit. It's still not going to be good news. I mean, it'll be down probably at 1.5% positive for the quarter. I believe we're, you know, going to have a 2-2.5% year, something like that. What's making the economy so crazy right now is you have some very, very strong aspects of the economy. The labor market is doing well. There's a huge amount of investment going on. There's a huge amount of money being spent. The demand side of the economy is really as good as it's ever been.
Yes, it is.
Then you've got the supply side.
Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side, there's a lot of uncertainty. The supply issues are still working against the long-term forecasts of large corporations. I mean, I don't like to discuss specific corporations on the show, but if you take a look at Apple, for example, Apple had its all-time high quarter in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
However, the stock got pummeled because they took a loss on an investment in an electric car manufacturer.
Mm.
Amazon? I'm sorry.
Yes. Amazon took a loss on the electric car manufacturer. Is that correct?
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
But what happened with Apple was they forecast a difficulty in getting supply from China.
From China, which
on
is
making the stuff that they still
China
make in part over there.
Many parts big parts of China shut down with another COVID lockdown.
Right. So what's happening to investors is they're seeing pulls on both sides and not knowing what's going to happen going forward. Remember, the market is forward-looking. So when you have investors saying, we're not sure what these numbers really mean, then people tend to pull back. The pulling back, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And let me give you a contrarian theory that I think is also working here. The midterm elections, and you might want to chat with Terry about this, but the midterm elections were not looking good for Democrats. And the idea that Republicans would take over both houses of Congress and send the government into stalemate is very frightening for investors, because even though they don't like to admit it publicly, we know that the markets do better, not a little bit better, but a good deal better, when Democrats are in power. And the idea that Democrats will not be in power is giving some people a lot of pause. And so, you know, I know people are going to come at me, you know, for having said that, but let me tell you.
But I think you've said on this program before, and you've given the evidence that the market has performed historically better when Democrats are in power.
Right, but the idea that the people who always say we want free market conservative economic policies also know the facts as I've stated them, and I think that's playing into, to a certain extent, some pessimism about where this economy might be going, and some pessimism as to the forward-looking market in where profitability will go into 2023, maybe the beginning of 2024. I do not believe that we are on the, you know, on the forefront of a recession here. I believe that we're going to have a significant slowing down of the economy, that the supply side will work its way out over time, and that what we will see is, as corporations begin to straighten out their inventory issues and begin to straighten out their supply issues, that they'll begin to normalize. Now, you know, there are some new normals that we'll see as a result of the pandemic, but even the pandemic is kind of normalizing in a way.
It is.
And so I see the balance of this year being volatile markets, but a calming down of the economy. I think the Fed is going to take the results from last Friday into consideration. I think they'll do a half point tomorrow, but I think when we get the announcements and the statements that go along with those quantitative changes, they will show that, you know, maybe the Fed is not going to overreact to inflation.
That they will be
more
cautious than many
expect. And I think that is the key to restoring confidence in the markets.
If by chance the Fed took into consideration what happened Friday with the bloodbath on the markets and only raised the percentage by 0.25%, the stock market will go up like gangbusters.
At least for one day.
For one day. will.
Yeah, I mean, the Fed will then be signaling that they understand that overreacting can be as harmful as underreacting. In fact, we talked about this one of the sessions when I was overseas, that you can really have mistakes in both directions. Paul Krugman really pointed this out in one of his articles, that it's clear the Fed is going to get it wrong, because you can't, economics is not an exact science, but will they get it a lot wrong or a little bit wrong? And in which direction will they make the mistake? And that's really very, very important, that the Fed kind of stand back a little bit and continue to be very, very cautious, that most of what's causing inflation today is not stuff that has to do with government spending.
Yeah, it's a two-year pandemic.
Exactly. And
trying to catch up with supply chains.
And you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. You can't say the economy is shrinking because the government is running out of stimulus money and then say we stimulated, you know, too much. So what we're seeing is some schadenfreude on the part of Republicans thinking, oh, we've got another good economic argument to make against the Dems for November. But when you put that aside, I think what you're going to see is a Fed standing back, being cautious. You will see some statements from Powell tomorrow or Thursday that will, I think, settle things down for a while. Now, then you have to take a look at results, because at the end of the day, results are what count.
Any advice to travelers this summer?
Oh, gosh.
my friend Ryan Hansen at Bon Voyage Travel has one word for our travel friends: patience.
Patience, yes. I can tell you that Paris was as crowded as I've ever seen it.
Wow.
And the other thing for Americans flying overseas, you need a negative COVID test.
You do.
The day before your flight home.
You
do. And if you don't think that is anxiety producing.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, it is something you have to consider before you decide to make an overseas
trip.
Really
do. Good point, Shelley. Great to have you back. Thanks, Shelley.
Thanks, Bill.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey,
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studios. We love green things. We especially love them this time of year because it is perfect time to get your gardening going before the summer rains come. And we certainly hope it will be a very robust monsoon. But if you're looking for some great color for the garden and you don't know what to put in there that might not only might, but will perform for you right up until the summer rains. The most knowledgeable people work at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. On their 13-acre site, of course, they have just about everything you could imagine for the garden, but they also have beautiful merchandise, much of it handcrafted in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Some of the pottery from Mexico is outstanding. That's the Zocalo Village part of the Green Things business. The website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com, Green Things in their 51st year, and they are open daily. Joining us in studio is Norma Cable. Norma is a spokesperson for the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, and we always welcome her to the program. She does a great job getting the word out about what's going on at the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. Norma, how are you?
Hello. Nice to see you again in person.
Yep.
Doing fine.
In person always is better than on the telephone.
Yes.
But so it's good to see your smiling face. This is a big year. The 30th anniversary, is that right, for Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive?
That's right. And we are so excited about it because it is our biggest food drive of the year. And this is a food drive that couldn't happen the last couple of years because of COVID and all the concerns with what we were dealing with. But it is back. So next Saturday, please do leave a bag of food, non-perishable food, by your mailbox, and those wonderful letter carriers who we appreciate so much will pick it up while they're picking up your mail and delivering your mail and then bring it in. And that comes up to, Bill, about 200,000, maybe 250,000 pounds of
food
for us.
Are you kidding? That much?
Isn't that huge?
Yeah, you got to hand it to the letter carriers. It's not like their trucks are not already, you know, very full of packages, especially since they're doing a lot of deliveries for Amazon and other carriers as well. Now they're going to have bags of food that will be going to you folks over at the food bank.
Right.
That's a ton of food.
It's a lot of food by its very nature. That's heavy food, and that's what we're asking for, and that's what we love to receive. But we also know that it is a hot day, usually.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday, second Saturday in May, always guaranteed to be pretty warm in Tucson, Arizona, and in Green Valley as well, where this is going on. And actually, this goes on across the country. So we really are grateful to the letter carriers who make it part of their work that day to bring in this food. And it is much needed. You know, we're heading into summer. And we know that when kids are home, they tend to eat more. I certainly remember those days. And, you know, you kind of get chills down your spine from remembering how much was going to be eaten at your house. So we know that food is well needed, and this is a great way to donate. So easy for the person who's at home to put together a bag and then just make sure you get it out by your mailbox before your letter carrier normally arrives, and they do pick it up and take it in. And we are just so grateful. We have seen our number of volunteers rise, and we're getting within range of what we need, but we really do count on almost 400 volunteers that day.
Because
you
that
can imagine.
Work and sorting and
everything. Yeah. Because we're trying to collect it and sort it and get it into decent shape before it goes to our warehouse that day. And that takes volunteers out at each post office. And so it's a hot job, yes, absolutely. And we do ask for people to be able to handle that kind of physical demand, to be able to stand and sort food and be able to do that in the guaranteed warm weather, which we will have. So if you're interested, please let us know. We're still looking for 100 volunteers.
Really?
You can email volunteer@communityfoodbank.org and let us know, and we'll get back to you. And we welcome groups, you know, put a group of people together from your neighborhood or your scout troop or your church or whatever, your book club, and come on out and join us. It's a fun day. It's fun to see the food come in. It's fun to look at what this community can do, which always just amazes us.
So where will they be stationed, the volunteers? Do they all congregate at one location?
They will be out at these different post offices waiting for the letter carriers to come bring
back.
So that's
a lot. That's
a lot. It's a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all these post offices in the area that even goes beyond the city limits, really, and just waiting and taking those bags from the letter carriers and then making sure that they're sorted. We do ask that people on that day donate non-perishable goods and nothing in a glass jar.
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be really hot, so you don't want to put something out there that's going to be like a tub of ice cream.
Absolutely. Not a good choice in May.
Not a good choice. Are there some particular items that would be very welcome?
Absolutely. We always go back to our top items that we ask for, and number one on that list is always peanut butter. Because
you know how
far that jar can go too, right?
Yeah.
In providing many meals. So peanut butter, pasta, rice, beans, those are all great choices.
Mm-hmm.
Canned tomato products, low sodium if possible. Canned fruit products, packed in the juice if possible. Canned vegetables, canned protein, the tuna and the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
All of those are great donations. We just appreciate you thinking about who that's going to and thinking about, you know, what does your family eat? You want it to be as healthy and nutritious as it can be. That's so important.
So think canned, really.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. We can take the boxes too and bags, you know, of beans or rice or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But cans, not jars, because when we talk about that much food coming in, it's better not to have a jar to worry about with the glass breakage and all that good stuff. So yes, we're asking for people to donate. We're asking for people to volunteer. And we just love this community because usually when we ask, the response is just so overwhelming.
So where do you put your bag?
Just right by your mailbox. Uh-huh. And actually, you should receive a yellow bag.
I wondered if they were going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That they were going to supply a bag.
Right. You should receive it in your mailbox this weekend, I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can just use that bag. Or if you don't get it, use any bag
grocery bag you'd like.
And just set it right out there.
One thing, and we haven't had you on in a while, and it's always a pleasure, by the way, to have you back, is that during the pandemic, you were offering longer service hours, and now there's kind of a return to serving people inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We did offer drive-through service for a very long time, and that was to limit exposure, make sure that we could serve people and have everybody stay safe. But we are absolutely thrilled to be able to serve people back in our building at 3003 South Country Club. That's our main warehouse in Tucson, and just so happy to see people coming in again. We know that we are still doing everything to keep as safe as possible, but it is a big difference in how we can serve someone who's just driving through and load up their car with food as opposed to someone who can sit down. We can talk with them, maybe line them up with other services that can help them. We just think it's a better and more respectful way to serve people, and we're just so happy that we can be back. So those hours are 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. if you do need emergency food at the food bank, 3003 South Country Club, and that's on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So yes, happy to be back. Again, having volunteers able to help us serve people is just wonderful, but really glad to be back to that kind of normalcy as we hopefully transition out of this thing.
You do have resource centers in other areas.
Yes, absolutely. People often don't know that the Community Food Bank serves 5 counties in Southern Arizona. So we're talking about resource centers in Marana, in Nogales, in Amado, and in Green Valley, and in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is just a very effective way of helping people. We also have a distribution center in Wilcox where the trucks can go and then serve rural areas where we often see higher poverty, where we know that food is well needed. And so that's a whole other way that we serve Southern Arizona. Just very important to get the food out from Tucson and then out into the areas where it's needed. And again, volunteers here in Tucson packing every emergency food bag that goes out. Yeah. So when we talk about, you know, we served, I think, more than 300,000 people last year. Every one of those bags are packed in Tucson. And whereas we did have the National Guard with us during the pandemic, they're no longer with us. They have other work to do. Sure. So we're relying on our volunteers once again.
Okay, Norma Cable, summarize now what's going to happen on Saturday, May 14th.
Sure. So on Saturday, May 14th, we would like you to put a bag of food together of non-perishable goods, put it out by your mailbox so that your letter carrier can grab it and bring it on in. We are also really looking for volunteers to help us on that day. We need about 100 more volunteers. And if you would be interested in doing that, you can email volunteer@communityfoodbank.org. But please do remember, this drive is so important to us. The summer months are such a challenge for us, and this comes at such an important time of year. It's our biggest food drive of the year. We're looking for help handling the food and also donating the food and then sending it out to Southern Arizona where it is much needed.
And you think over 200,000 pounds would be a good day?
We do. We do. We're really looking for that. We're really hoping for that, and we're prepared to handle that kind of amount.
I hope it all comes true, and thank you. It's great to see you, Norma.
Thank you, Bill. So good to see you.
All right. Appreciate it. We'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition. Be right back.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. The weather has been really nice for a road trip. Just about a three-hour drive over to an area we like very much, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment, welcoming many of our Tucson listeners to the area. So much to do over there, like how about a visit to the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is just north of Silver City. Find out more about the many recreation opportunities and the great places to stay. And don't forget, the Blues Festival returns Memorial Day weekend to Silver City. The website is southwestnewmexico.org. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Well, thanks to a decision by the Arizona Supreme Court last week, Arizona voters now will not get a chance to decide the fate of a nearly $2 billion tax cut that mainly benefits the very wealthy people living in the state of Arizona. Let's welcome now on the live line Dr. Dave Wells. Dr. Wells is head of research. He's the research director for the Grand Canyon Institute, which is dedicated to informing and improving public policy in the state of Arizona through evidence-based, independent, objective, nonpartisan research. The Grand Canyon Institute is based in Phoenix. Dave, how are you?
Well, I'm glad to join you, Bill. Although I would have to say, I think we're in a sad state when I think a group of third graders could read our Constitution better than the state Supreme Court. Because, it actually says the exception to the referendum power is accept laws immediately necessary for the preservation of the public peace, health, or safety, or for the support and maintenance of the departments of the state government and state institutions. And it's really hard to understand how that could ever mean massive tax cuts for wealthy people. And I think a bunch of third graders would know that.
Well, looking at the Supreme Court decision, they said the state constitution prohibits voters from referring any matters, quote, affecting the support and maintenance of state operations. I don't get it, Dave Wells.
Yeah, well, I think that's why Bob Robb wrote that he pities the poor staff who has to write the opinion because they've made up something that's not in the Constitution, and it's really sad because we put out a thing about Porsches versus pizza because the wealthiest 1,000 Arizonans who make $5 million or more are going to save an average $200,000 a year. The median tax filer will save $10, enough to buy a pizza. And 90% of this money is going to go to people who make $100,000 or more. And only 10% of it goes to people who make less than $100,000. It's just really sad to think that with all the challenges people have with affordable housing and gas prices and all things going on, that this was the top priority of our state legislature, was to give money to wealthy people. It's not an economic development thing. They seem to, it's based off of trickle down economics, but that's something that doesn't have any evidence for it. And unfortunately, we're all going to have to pay the price for that.
Could you take us back to how this all originated, this referendum?
Well, I think the referendum happened with a number of groups getting together, and we were actually part of that discussion, which was, because we wrote a number of things last May that were quite critical of the proposal for a flat tax, which normally they can't get away with, but because there was $70 billion in federal COVID money that came into the state, it made the state coffers sufficiently flush that they felt they could give this money away and afford it. So a number of groups came together and people worked in the summer, only 90 days to collect signatures. It was a combined volunteer effort and as well as some paid signature gatherers to meet the requirements. And they did get enough signatures. And according to the Constitution, that should have been something that voters would have had the opportunity to, because when they developed the Constitution in Arizona, it was during the populist era. That's why we have a corporation commission and other referendums and initiatives, is they believed in direct democracy or a check on high financial powers. And it's just really sad that through all of this, the Supreme Court decided that they can read new things of the Constitution.
Does this set, in your opinion, Dave Wells, a dangerous precedent?
Well, it's disturbing. Certainly the powers of initiative have been winnowed by the legislature, by having like strict compliance for signatures. So if you go over the line or do anything wrong, they can throw out the whole thing's ID. They can call in signature gatherers, and if they don't show up in court, the paid ones, then they can throw out sheets. So they've done a lot of things to try to make it harder for citizens. And of course, it would be wonderful if the legislature actually took on issues that were of primary concern, but they often don't do it, which is why voters have to resort to the initiative process. It's definitely disturbing to me because it's, there are many times when I think the courts take areas that are gray areas. Like, for instance, Prop 208, which was Invest in Ed, they put in a provision there that the constitutional limit on education spending for districts didn't apply to the 3.5% surtax on people with incomes above $500,000. And even though they did that, that was a statutory thing. And in the Constitution is where that that limit came from. And that's sort of a gray area. And I understood in the context of that why the state Supreme Court could therefore determine that, in fact, even though they put it in the statute, that didn't fix the constitutional limit. So that's normally where I see the court doing it. In this case, it's really disturbing because they've read something that's not in the Constitution at all into the Constitution. If you can do that, I mean, let's say the potential here is this is a bigger cut than what Candace did. And we're in a much stronger financial position, but Candace immediately had financial problems. And effectively, the legislature has a legal right now to bankrupt the state. And that's a very dangerous kind of position and power to give the legislature, because it takes a two-thirds vote in Arizona to raise taxes, but only a majority vote in the legislature to lower them.
This is a $1.4 billion tax reduction, right?
Yeah, they did a few different things, but this particular part was $1.4 billion. Their primary goal last session was to create a carve-out so nobody had to pay that surtax for Prop 208. And so part of that, but then Prop 208 totally went away. And so the $1.9 billion cost included some of the monies that were going to because they were going to make the lowest rate 1% for the richest people, and now it's going to be 2.5%. But so it's $1.4 billion is the cost. And again, there's so many areas in our state that could really benefit from a $1.4 billion investment.
Yes, indeed. That's for sure. Dr. Dave Wells is with us. Dave holds a doctorate in political economy and public policy. He's the research director at the nonprofit and nonpartisan Grand Canyon Institute. Before we let you go, Dave, the rainy day fund just has exploded up in Phoenix. It's multi-billion dollars, isn't it, right now?
Yeah, I think we have enough now to refill Lake Mead, right?
Yes. What's your take on this legislative session, real quickly?
Well, we're hoping to put out a paper in the next week or two, and hopefully before they come up with a budget, which really talks about the way we could invest money. They still have quite a bit of money due to all that COVID money that came in.
Yeah.
And, and thinking about really investing in at-risk families and children and so forth, especially with the possibility that Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned. And if we're going to be really a pro-life state, we ought to be investing in these children, because people don't become criminals and end up in the prison system just magically. What happens is they have a lot of childhood trauma, and a lot of it happens between the time of their birth and 5 years. And we think if the state really was serious about trying to support families, that they really ought to use this money to do that. So they have a certain sort of a second chance to get something a little bit better. So we're going to try to put a paper out to try to explain all the different ways the state could potentially invest the money and do a better job.
Yeah, I agree with you, because it was a huge inflow of money. $78 billion in federal COVID relief money came to the state of Arizona. So let's see if we can make some of that money make lives better here in Arizona. Dr. Wells, thank you. Always a pleasure, Dave.
Oh, I'm always glad to join you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dave Wells, research director from the Grand Canyon Institute in Phoenix. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. On behalf of John, engineering and producing the show, hope you learned something. That's why we do our program every day here. Hope we can inform people so they learn, even if it's one new thing out of the hour, I think it's worthwhile. Have a great afternoon, everybody.